Are you ready for the word?
You have your seat now. Praise the Lord.
Luke's Gospel 24.
Luca arba injili ya Luca arba ini.
As the sessions progress,
ichi kipindi kinapo endelea,
you will not need those chairs again.
Atu itaji tena easy fit.
Those chairs.
Easy fit.
They are hindering the will of God.
Zinazuia utembeo wa nguvu ya Mungu.
So you may not need those chairs like that.
Atuzihitaji viti za namna hizo.
You need to step away from those chairs.
Tunataka tuende pembeni ya hizo viti.
At some point.
Kwa utakapofika wakati wako.
Because when you are talking about the Holy Ghost,
kwa sababu unapozungumza kuhusu Roho Mtakatifu,
there's something called Holy Ghost.
Kuna kitu kinaitwa Roho Mtakatifu.
The Holy Ghost is Holy Ghost.
Roho Mtakatifu.
Holy Ghost.
Roho Mtakatifu.
And there's no gentleness to Holy Ghost.
Na hakuna utaratibu katika ile Roho Mtakatifu.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So be careful for the chairs.
Kwa hiyo muwe na uangalifu na hizo viti.
Luke 24.
Luka 24.
And verse 49.
Na ule mstari wa 49.
Behold,
sema, tazama,
I send the promise of my Father upon
sema,
you.
Ile ahadi ya baba yangu.
But tarry in the city of Jerusalem,
sema, subirini Jerusalem
till you be endued with power from on high.
Mpaka mtakapotiwa nguvu kutoka juu.
The word behold there,
ile neno tazama,
means to look.
Ina maana kuangalia.
Which means,
ina maana,
that what he's sending,
anasema anacho kituma,
will require that you observe very well. As we are going to see,
tunapoendelea,
the things of the spirit
vitu vya kiroho
requires observation.
Vinahitaji kuvitazama.
You must observe it.
Lazima tuvitazame.
In Matthew 28,
katika ile Mathayo 28
and verse 19,
na mstari wa 19,
it says, teaching all nations,
anasema fundisha mataifa yote,
baptizing them in the name of the Father,
anasema mkawabatize,
and of the Son,
kwa jina la Baba,
and of the Holy Ghost,
na la Roho Mtakatifu.
Then verse 20,
na mstari wa 20,
teaching them to observe,
na kuwafundisha kuyashika,
what things soever I have commanded you,
yote niliyowaamuru.
Then he said, lo,
anasema,
now that word lo again is look.
Unaona, anasema tena tazama.
Lo,
anasema tazama.
It means look.
Ana maana
tazama. I am with you always,
anasema nitakuwa nanyi siku zote,
till the end of the age,
mpaka mwisho wa dahari.
Which means we have an instruction by God.
Kwa hiyo ina maana kwamba tuna maagizo kutoka kwa Mungu,
to look around very well,
kuangalia kwa uangalifu.
You know, there are things he has not asked us to look at.
Kuna vitu ambavyo hakutuambia tuviangalie.
If you go on some people's well, I don't go around on people's Facebook.
Unajua mimi huwa siangalii sana hizo Facebook za watu.
But if you go on some people's either social media handles or social media pages,
ukitazama kwenye Facebook za watu wengi,
they are never looking at what Jesus gave.
Hawaangalii vile vitu ambavyo Yesu alitoa.
They are looking at what the devil is doing.
Wanatazama ile shetani amefanya.
Is either they are talking about the mistake of one man of God,
wanaweza wakatazama makosa ya mchungaji mmoja,
or the mistake of one church,
au kanisa fulani.
And they are always praying for God to do something. God, revive us.
Na wanaanza kuomba, eh, Mungu tupe uamsho.
And they are never revived.
Lakini hawapati uamsho.
They will always pray, Lord, your church is missing it. Your church is not getting it. And to them, the church never gets it. The church never makes it. Don't read people like that. You will always have a negative view about the body of Christ. Anyone whose sermons and messages makes you have a negative view about the body of Christ is definitely not preaching God's word. Is definitely not preaching God's word. Are there things to correct? Yes. Are there things we want to improve upon? Yes. If there are no things to correct,
kama hakuna vitu vya kurekebisha,
Paul will could not write 13 letters. Why were they writing letters? It means there were things to correct 2,000 years ago. And there are still things being corrected now. But let me ask you a question. The number of believers on the day of Pentecost, has it increased today? Has it increased today?
Yes.
Into millions and billions. So which means in spite of the mistakes, corrections we are making, God is still doing things. Hey! So why are you focusing on this church is not this one, that church is not this? That's too negative, a negative an attitude. From the fifth to sixth chapter of the book of Acts, they started correcting things till the eighth chapter, till the 12th chapter, 13th chapter, up till chapter 28. There were conflicts and conflicts and conflicts. But the word of God was growing. The mission was growing. The power of the Holy Spirit was being intensified. Nobody said God is doing nothing. Nobody prayed and said, God, where are you? In spite of all the mistakes going on, Paul wrote several times rebuking believers who were even living in immorality. He rebuked them. He scolded them. He flogged them, which every pastor should always do. But that doesn't stop the work of the Holy Spirit. It didn't stop the work of the Holy Spirit. So you know why it didn't stop the work of the Holy Spirit? Because he did not focus on that. Whatever you focus on is what you are going to get. If as a pastor, all you focus on in the church you pastor are their faults, their weaknesses. That is what you are going to get. But if you focus on their strengths, as you are correcting the faults, you will have spiritual stalwarts. You will have spiritual stalwarts. A pastor must be positive about his congregation. I learned that a lot from Kenneth Hagin. He said, your messages must be filled with faith. You must have faith in your members. You must believe the best about them. When you get on the pulpit, say, I know you guys are following God's plan. I know you guys are doing God's will. I know you are yielding to the Holy Ghost. I know you are led by the Spirit of God. Because if you know they will not be led by the Spirit of God, why are you teaching them? Why are you teaching them? I was talking to a member of our church last week. I said, you know what to do. Because I've taught you to be led by the Spirit of God. And I have confidence that God talks to you. And you hear him. And you will do his will. That is how the pastor talks.
Not
all of you, I don't even know what's wrong with you. I don't even know whether God is the one that even brought you to this church. If you are angry at home, don't bring it to church. If you are angry at work, don't bring it to church. If Stamford Bridge has been disappointing you, don't bring it to church. Stamford Bridge, say it well.
Yes. Oh. Kama watu wa Chelsea wamekutesa basi imefungwa Chelsea usipeleke kanisani.
If Old Trafford has been old for you, bringing more devils to your life, don't bring it to church. Thank you. If you are afraid that Man City might be relegated next season, don't bring it to church. That is the illustration the Holy Spirit is giving me this morning. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But what we are saying is that a pastor cannot be negative. The word of God is positive about the believer. I am who he says I am. I have what he says I have. I can do what he says I can do. I am what the word says I am. I have what the word says I have. I can do what the word says I can do. Can you shout hallelujah for that? The word of God is positive about you. Paul wants to correct the church. The church in Corinth.
Katika kanisa la Korinto.
That church get wahala.
Ile kanisa ilikuwa na matatizo.
From chapter 1 to chapter 16.
Ile kuanzia sura ya 6 mpaka 16.
Na sote issues, problem.
Kulikuwa kuna matatizo.
But how did it start?
Ilianzaje?
To them who are in Christ Jesus.
Kwa wale ambao ameanza nao anasema kwa wale walio ndani ya
Saints.
Anasema.
He said I thank God.
Anasema nawashukuru.
On your behalf.
Kwa niaba yako.
Because you are enriched in all utterance and knowledge. And you come behind in no gift. You come behind in no gift. That is how he started. When he was talking to them about judging other believers, whether they should go to court or not, he said the new convert in your church. He said he's wiser than the judge in the courts. To the same church. The same church. He said the new convert is more esteemed than the Supreme Court judge. He said such were some of you. But now you are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the Spirit of our God. He said you are joined together with the Lord. And you are one spirit with him. Abba. That's how to pastor. He will still call them carnalo. He will still say they are behaving like me amen. But he called them spiritual. He said, you have not received the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God, that you may know the things that are freely given to you of God. You must be positive. Even in your correction, be positive. Be positive. He said, the manifestation of the spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, 7. He said he's given to all of you to profit with all. Imagine having flogged them and flogged them and flogged them. If it were today's pastors, they say that's why God will not use you. That's why you think God is careless with his power? Paul says, desire spiritual gifts. He told the same church. He said, be fervent about spiritual gifts. So you have to be positive. All the pastors here, I hope you are hearing what I'm saying. You see, congregation, they are anointed to annoy you.
Kwamba kusanyiko limetoa mafuta kukuudhi wewe.
Every pastor knows what I'm saying.
Lazima ujue hilo kiwa mapastor.
That is their office.
Hiyo ndio ofisi yao.
Did you see how Jesus pastored 12 people?
Unaona vile Yesu alivyochunga wale watu 12.
It's like they were not listening.
Walikuwa kama wasikilizi.
They will say something, they will say something else.
Wanasema hivi, yeye anasema kitu kingine.
You take them to pray, they will sleep off.
Wanaambia waombe wanalala.
Go and cast out demons. They are talking story. He died. They ran away. He rose from the dead. They did not believe it. They are anointed to frustrate you. But it is in that frustration that they will grow spiritually. And you will maintain the spirit-filled life. And you will cause them to learn and be wiser believers. So for you as a pastor, problem no go finish. Allahu Akbar. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Problem no go finish. He didn't know what to say again. Problem no go finish. So that should not be the basis of your sermons. That should not be the strength of your sermons. Your sermons must be full of faith. I know you will come out of it. I know that sin has no dominion over you. I know you are not in the flesh. I'm confident you walk in the spirit. That is how to teach the people of God. That is how to teach the people of God. After Paul had called the church in Galatia, he called them, he said, the old foolish Galatians. In Galatians 3:1. In Galatians 3:1. But this, he said, you have received the Spirit. He said they had received the Spirit by the hearing of faith. He said they are all the children of God by Jesus Christ. The same Galatians 3 and 27. He said they have been baptized into Christ. They are put on Christ. In the same Galatians 3. He said they are heirs of God. Heirs of the same promise. In chapter 4. He said God has sent forth the spirit of his son into their hearts. So which Bible are you? Which Bible do we read? In chapter 5. Chapter 5. And 25. In fact 24. He said those who are Christ, they have crucified the flesh, the lust and the affections thereof. The lust and the affections thereof. The lust and the affections thereof. In 25. He says, since you live in the spirit. He said, now walk in the spirit. The same people he called foolish. In chapter 3 verse 1. He now identifies them. Perfectly. In Christ Jesus. Their behavior might be somehow, but their nature is the same. Their actions might be contradicting their nature and who they are in Christ Jesus. You know, it may be contradicting it, but put emphasis on who you are in Christ. Put emphasis on your identification. Imagine God talking to Israel. The same Israel. The same Israel that showed God pepper. They showed God pepper. In Deuteronomy 7:6-7. He said, you did. I said, I loved you. He said, I loved you. And I love you. And I chose you. He said, eh? Yeah. The same people. He said, yes. I love you. And I chose you. The same people who were grumbling. He said, unto me. Unto me, you are a nation of kings and priests, a peculiar treasure unto me. You think God is the kind of person that will look at you first and say, would I like this person? Give me some time. Let me think about it. Let me think about it. Let me pray about it. That's God. Let me pray about it. To know whether you will be my son. Let me pray about it. I sense I should pray about it. So God goes for a retreat. God goes for a retreat. Trying to make up his mind. No, he sees hundreds of years. He sees tens of years you are going to live. He sees the errors you are going to make. And he says, you are a chosen vessel unto me. He says, you are a chosen vessel unto me. God doesn't act like human beings. No, he doesn't act like human beings. You know, if you go out to tell a sister you like her, I think I'm ministering by the gifts of the Spirit already. And you say you like her, and you want to be in a relationship with her, she says, let me think about it. Let me pray about it. Let me talk to Pastor Makarios about it. Am I speaking the counsel of God? Let me talk to Pastor about it. So she begins to ask you questions. Which club do you support? When you say Chelsea, she says, this must be God's plan to make me endure long suffering. When you say Arsenal, she knows the blood of Jesus is red. So she says, by one blood, he has made one nation of all men. I'm quoting scripture. I'm not joking. I'm quoting scripture now. The way you say that, she looks at you and says, let me go and think about it. You know, God doesn't do that. Before you say, Lord, save me, he said, he will tell you, I stretch my hands first to save you. Before you say, Lord, love me, he said, I loved you before you were born. Are you following what I'm saying here? So, God is not a human being that will need information before he does something. God has all the information already. And he has saved you. And he has given you his spirit. And he has faith in you. Can you shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So the word of God is positive. And so we should be positive. We said God is doing things in the earth. So people say, well, what is happening? What's happening? I'll tell them, it is around you that nothing is happening. Things are happening in other places. Maybe you should travel there. So you see what God is doing. As we speak now, people are getting born again. In some country, in the Middle East, people are getting born again almost every minute. All over Africa, people are getting born again. Many more ministers are being raised. And you are asking, what is God doing? Go and wear glasses. The glasses of faith. The glasses of the Holy Ghost. You will see it. For now, you are wearing dark shades. And Satan is the prince of darkness. Remove that dark shade. Remove the dark shade. And wear the shade of the Spirit of God. You know, when you wear dark shade, it's so that you won't see the sun. But if you remove the dark shade, you will see the sun. So if God is doing something in the earth, and all you see is dark shade, negativity, you will not see the sun. But remove the dark shade so that you can see what God is doing. You just discover that you are seeing some pages you never saw on social media about what God is doing somewhere. You say, I never knew this. You will not know because of the kind of people you are reading after. They don't talk about positive things. But I dare say, the Spirit of God is moving in the earth. I dare say, God is doing great and mighty things in the earth. In Tanzania, is doing great and mighty things. In Uganda, is doing great and mighty things. In Kenya, is doing great and mighty things. In Ethiopia, is doing great and mighty things. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Sit down. Amen. So let your mind be positive. About your church, let your mind be positive. About your nation, let your mind be positive. About your city, let your mind be positive. Be filled with possibilities. Be filled with possibilities. That fellowship you just started, it will grow and grow and grow. It will birth another fellowship. That 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 will birth another fellowship. Hallelujah. Unbelievers will come into that fellowship, born again, and they will become ministers of the gospel. They will become pastors and teachers. That is the fellowship in your hands. It is growing and 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 growing. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
That's why I warn people. You may have a problem with people's doctrine. You may not see some people are teaching the Bible the way they should. But never talk down on crowds. It's the most stupid thing you can do. Don't talk down on numbers. Crowd is the will of God.
There is
no minister that will prefer 10 to 1,000. There is no minister that will prefer 1,000 to 100,000. Sit down, please. Somebody was telling me something one day. He said, you know something about large numbers. He said, there are so many problems. I said, that means you don't want to ever grow. You don't want to ever grow. He said, then large number have large problems. I said, the small number almost have the greater problems. Jesus had 12. 12. That's like a house fellowship.
12.
They couldn't pray for long. They could not pray for long. They couldn't understand simple teaching.
12.
They were asking sometimes some very foolish questions. Just 12. Just 12. But did it stop him from growing? No. Doesn't make any sense. You know, I told somebody, a member of our church, I said, you are just one person. You want to see me every service. Because there's a problem, sir. I said, I'd rather have 100 people with 100 problems than one single person with 100 problems. That simple pastoral stuff. I told somebody, he said, go into all the world. Are you the world? You are not the world now. You are part of the world. So give me room to reach others. Don't worry, your problem will be solved someday. God will help you as he's helping me. Do you understand? Do you understand?
No.
That's how it is. So don't say, it's not about crowd. So what is it about? It's not about having a large congregation. So what is it about? It's about having a small congregation. You see, don't be saying stupid things. Some things are stupid. It's like somebody doing surgery. I'm not a doctor. There's only one doctor on this on our trip. I don't know any other doctor here. Medical doctor.
Kuna daktari mahali hapa.
If I say anything that is wrong, just pray for me. I am not a medical doctor.
Mimi sio doctor.
So people are doing surgery. Imagine you want to do surgery. There's something is wrong in the person's body.
They say,
where is it? They say, it's near his heart. You say, eh? Then you bring out a dagger.
You
say, we have to remove it. And you cut the kidney, cut the stomach. Because you want to...
Abba.
There are still many useful things there. Just simply take away what the problem is. That's why surgery is very careful. It's carefully done. In fact, before surgery, they will do scans. MRI.
MRI.
It's not, don't reopen your Bible to see MRI. Where are you going to see MRI in your Bible? MRI, 2 Corinthians, is there MRI there? They do MRI, they will do all sort of, you know, just to detect where it is. So that they will go directly to the problem. As pastors, do your own MRI. Know exactly what the problem is. So that you will not remove the one that is doing well. So you will not affect the others that are doing well because you want to address a problem. Are you following what I'm saying? So when you go into the, when you have to diagnose the problem well. Have you ever seen wrong diagnosis before? I have seen it before. I was treated for malaria for about 2 years. It was every 2 weeks I would go for malaria. Till they found out the problem was my kidney. By the time they found out, my kidney was almost gone. In fact, it was practically gone. So you can see wrong diagnosis is wrong. First of all, what is the problem? What is the problem? Don't go and look for what the problem is not. There are people today. They are very strong on evangelism. They reach everywhere. Now you may not like their views about the Holy Ghost, about healing, about speaking in tongues, about holiness, about who you are in Christ. But there's something right. They are going into all the nations. So don't diagnose the wrong problem. Are you following what I'm saying here? Don't diagnose the wrong problem. Go for what the issue is. The issue is not crowd. The issue is not crowd. See, I would rather have 100,000 people listening to a guy whom I don't agree with his doctrinal position, but he says that Jesus died for your sins. He rose from the dead. He rose from the dead for your justification. As long as he's saying that, I am happy at what he's doing. I would rather have 100,000 people listen to that person than going to Stanford Bridge. I'm so sorry. That's what is always coming out of my spirit. Or going to Old Trafford. Or going to watch Burna Boy concert. Or going on the street for protest. I'd rather have that number. Listening to somebody saying Jesus Christ is Lord, and all hands are lifted to say Jesus Christ is Lord. That there's nothing wrong in that one. There's nothing wrong in that one. There may be other things I'll say, well, you should have done it like this and done it like that. But the basic thing, Jesus Christ, who is God, and became a man, went on the cross and took your sins with him. He was buried, raised from the dead. Salvation is free. Salvation is free. It is yours today. It is. If I hear that, I am happy. I am happy. He may not get tongues right. He may not get righteousness right. He may not understand holiness well. He may even speak down on the gift of righteousness. We can catch up on that one later. But you see, the basic one is that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. As long as he's saying that, people will get born again. How many of us got born again with exegesis? The day you got born again, they were doing a deep teaching. And they were quoting Greek and Hebrew, and none of us usually. We all just got born again hearing that Jesus died for our sins. Aren't you glad you are born again today? Aren't you glad you are saved today? So be glad for other people too. Can you shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah!
Sit down. God bless you. That's not part of my sermon, but it came out. Is it okay? Is it very well?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So we must be positive. Be positive about the church. The church you pastor. Be positive about the body of Christ generally. Including churches that you don't agree with. Be positive about them. Be positive about believers. I've not asked you to endorse what is not biblical. I've not asked you to endorse anything somebody says because he has crowd. But don't have a problem with crowd. People that have problems with crowd, their problem is spelled E.
Matatizo yao,
N
yana
V Y E N V A Y E N V Y E N V I N V Y.
You don't have it.
6 7 7 8 9 E N V Y N V.
Weevil.
That's all. There's no preacher that does not want crowd. I don't want that. You say you're not. I'm not about crowd. I'm not about crowd. Why are you on social media? If you are not about crowd, will you not just say in your room, I'll be talking to people you know? You are not about crowd, but you are on social media. You are doing Facebook live. You are posting your program. You didn't whine me. You like crowd. Who does not like crowd? Every preacher knows that when you see. Wait, look, I pastored 2.5 people before. Say it well, 2.5 people. Because there was a brother that was neither here nor there. So that's half member. You know there's half member. One day, one of the guys I had been pursuing to come for fellowship. That day, I was at his house. I made sure he had his bath right in my presence. Go and have your bath. I'm waiting here. We are going to fellowship together today. When he finished having his bath, he said, I should be going. He will follow me. I said, don't worry. I have no way I'm going to. We are going to the same place. Let me wait for you. When he was done, he carried his Bible. He said, bro, don't worry. Believe me. I said, you two believe me. We are both going to the same place. Because I had seen the experience before. I saw him like this. He said he's going to join me in the fellowship. I didn't see him or his angel. Both him and his angel did not come. I saw him again. Like this. Enter his room. I knocked his door. The door was locked from the outside. How many of you have people like that? You should have people like that,
oh.
So this time around, I caught him. I said, you are going nowhere. We are going to fellowship together. So we went together. So as he joined the fellowship, we were now 3.5. Maybe 3.25. No, 1/4 plus half. 3.75. 2.75. We are now 2.75. 2.75 because it's like this. Do you know that day, as I saw one extra person, I was happy. I said, our ministry is international. We are reaching the nations just because of one extra person. So who is lying to who? Who is lying to who? We all like to see extra people. So that's how this brother got up. As I was preaching, he wanted to go to the restroom. I left the pulpit. I left my Bible. I followed him to the restroom. So that he will not run away. This one that you have come today, you must come to the very end. I waited. I mean, I left my sermon. We are come back. You will be blessed today, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
when he came back, how will somebody now say it's not about crowd? Nonsense. Everybody likes to see more people. In case you don't even like more people, even Satan is looking at you. Because he also likes more people.
So
even Satan is unhappy. He's even looking at God and saying, God, what's this? Are you sure you created this person? Every being you created likes numbers. This one must be an accident of creation. Jesus loved numbers. He sent us to all the world, to every creature, and to every nation. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And our churches are going forth. We are going forth. So never talk down on numbers. Whatever you criticize, you will never attract. Whatever you talk down on, you can never get it. Whatever you criticize, you will never see it. Now, does it mean that if somebody has crowd, we should not look at what he's teaching? Listen. Whether crowd or no crowd, whatever everybody teaches, we must examine it. So it's not about crowd. It's about the fact that whatever anybody teaches, we must check it. Whether he has large number or he doesn't have large number yet. So that's not an issue. But we must not talk down on people gathering in their thousands and millions, praising the name of Jesus, exalting his holy name. I love that sight. I love that sight. I love to see that number. People gathering all over the world.
You know,
when I was coming in here, I didn't know what you were singing. But I love the fact you are singing about Jesus in your language. I like to see people everywhere, and I'll not be hearing something about Jesus. There was a song I heard like that in Uganda. I forgot that song. I used to play it a lot. I did not know what the guy was singing, but was saying Jesus.
Jesus.
And I love the song.
Hallelujah.
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 I remember the song. I was singing. Somebody knows that song very well. I'll tell the person to sing it for me again. I used to listen to it a lot then. I'll play it. You know, what about that song we heard in Ghana? Bononye. Bononye. Oh no. That's it. You don't know it. You don't know it. I know it. A song in Ghana.
You know,
God will be praised like that all over the world. You think English is his language? English is not his language, oh. English is the language of English. Is that very clear? So if I'm speaking English and pastor is speaking Swahili, none of us is using God's language. I'm using the language, this is not even my native language. I was forced to learn this language. I was forced to learn this language. But it's okay. You were not forced. This is your native language. This is your native language.
Yes.
Can you imagine? Maybe I should preach in my own native language. You'll not be able to interpret it. So you are chancing me. Me, I'm using English. You are using your native language. That's not good. What I'm trying to say is this. All over the world, Jesus Christ is glorified.
Yes, so anatukuzwa.
All over the world.
Yes, so anatukuzwa duniani kote.
Even in Arabic.
Hata kwa Waarabu.
Even in Arabic.
Hata katika Kiarabu.
He's been praised. He's been honored. Now, when we all now come together, I'll get to that later on. And we want to praise him in a way we have one language. We'll now praise him in other tongues. We'll now praise him in other tongues. Unifying every language, every tongue, every tribe, and every nation. Can you shout hallelujah?
Shout hallelujah.
Luke 24. Let me get to my sermon. You have not allowed me to get to my sermon. You have not allowed me to get to my sermon. God will judge all of you for not making me preach my sermon. So be very careful. Let me preach my sermon. My sermon is What's my sermon? Luke
24:49.
Behold,
Tazama,
I send the promise of my Father upon
you.
But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. He said, behold,
asema, Tazama,
see it.
Tazama.
Now we said that the power from on high
kumba,
is the baptism with the Holy Ghost.
Kasema, ni ubatizo wa roho.
Is the Spirit of God coming upon people.
Ni roho wa Mungu kuja juu ya
watu. It's been filled with the Spirit. Can you remember all that?
Unakumbuka
hiyo? Remember all of that?
Unakumbuka hiyo?
Is receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Kupokea kipawa cha roho.
What is in that gift?
Ni nini kiko katika hiyo kipawa?
Speaking.
Matamshi.
Hearing.
Kusikia.
And seeing.
Na kuona.
Speaking.
Kusema,
hearing,
kusikia,
and seeing,
na kuona,
speaking,
kusema,
hearing,
kusikia,
and seeing,
na kuona,
by the Holy Ghost.
Kwa roho wa
Bwana. That is a, that's what is in that gift.
Hiyo ndiyo ilicho, hicho ndicho kiko ndani ya
kipawa. The baptism with the Holy Ghost.
Ubatizo wa Roho Mtakatifu.
The baptism with the Holy Ghost.
Ubatizo kwa Roho Mtakatifu.
Now go to Acts of the Apostles chapter 2.
Tukienda kwenye kitabu cha Matendo ya Mitume sura ya 2.
See what Peter called it.
Angalia kile ambacho Peter amekiita.
I quoted it yesterday.
Niliweza kunukujana
in verse 16.
Mstari ule wa 16.
But this is that.
Asema lakini jambo hili ni lile
which was spoken by the prophet Joel.
Lilonenwa kwa kinywa cha nabii Joel.
It shall come to pass.
Itakuwa siku za mwisho.
In the last days, said God.
Anasema Mungu.
I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh.
Nitawapa watu wote roho yangu.
And your sons and your daughters.
Na wana wenu na binti zenu.
Shall prophesy.
Watatabiri.
Your young men shall see visions.
Na vijana wenu wataona maono.
Your old men shall dream dreams.
Na wazee wenu wataota ndoto.
On my servants.
Naam, na siku zile
tawaona. And on my handmaidens.
Wanaume na wanawake.
I will pour out in those days of my spirit and they shall prophesy.
He
calls it the outpouring of the spirit. It says upon all flesh. So take note of something. In Acts 1:5. You know, I told you to always open your Bible. Acts 1:5. Jesus said, John truly baptized with water. But not many days ends. You shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. So we said there's a background to the baptism with the Holy Ghost. It is the baptism of John. John is like a forerunner.
Yohana ni kama mtangulizi.
Like somebody who points you to someone else.
Kama mtu ambaye anakuonyeshia kitu kingine.
John is like an usher.
Yohana ni kama mhudumu usher.
Who says coming?
Anakuambia
sit there.
Anakuambia njoo kaa pale.
John is like somebody who introduces the guest speaker.
Yohana ni kama mtu ambaye anawatambulisha
wageni. He is not the guest speaker.
Yeye sio mgeni.
But his job is to introduce
lakini
the guest speaker.
Lakini kazi yake ni kuwatambulisha wale wageni.
John will come and say this is who he is.
Yohana atakuja kusema huyu ndiye.
This is what he will do.
Hiki ndicho atachokifanya.
I know some guest some people who introduce the guest speaker.
Unajua kuna wakati mwingine watu wanaotambulisha mhubiri mgeni.
When they are done.
Wakati wanamaliza.
Even the guest speaker will say ah that is more. The way they would describe the guest speaker. The way they would describe the guest speaker. And what he wants to do. So John is that voice. In Isaiah 40 verse 3. In the wilderness. Now don't forget what wilderness means. Wilderness. In scripture is a place of testing. Is when you are not yet in the promised land. Is also a place of chaos. In Genesis 1 and verse 1. Now why do we refer to Genesis or the Old Testament? You know, I said yesterday, it's like if you read the New Testament only, it's like watching part 2 of a movie. And you've not watched part 1. There will be many things in part 2 that they won't repeat from part 1. There will be characters in part 2 that started from part 1. But if you are not used to them in part 1, you will now be asking questions. Who is this person? Who is that person? I'm not speaking against our wives. So. But there's something similarly that they do. You'll be watching something together. She will now ask you, so who now follow that person? I said, but we are watching it together.
Hey,
just tell me now. Okay, who will now do this one? But are we not watching it together? You know, my wife claims to be an Arsenal fan. Notice the word she claims. But look at how she is a fan. She will not start the game with us. She will come out of the of our room. What is your scores? We are in the heat of the game.
Sasa, tuko katikati ya mchezo.
She will now say,
anakusema,
are they beating you?
Wanawafunga? Wanawapiga?
What kind of a supporter
sasa,
is that?
Huyu ni supporter wa namna gani? Shabiki wa namna gani huyu?
She will just say, hey,
anakusema, hey,
are they beating you again?
Wamewapiga tena.
I'll say, if you want to watch the game, come and watch
sasa,
the game.
Mchezo,
one kata, is coming in the middle.
Si unakuja katikati, unaanza kuchungulia pale, sasa.
And be teasing us. You know, same way you didn't watch something from the beginning. And you say, is the only ghost given to everybody? No,
it's
given to dogs and cats. Yeah. Do all people speak in tongues? No, it's unbelievers that speak in tongues. When you will not read everything. Imagine when you read about Abraham in Paul's letters or the four Gospels. Abraham is not; he did not live in that time. You have to go and read the Old Testament to know who Abraham is, to know who Isaac is, to know who Adam was, to know who David is. You have to go back and read it. So which means the New Testament always compels us to go back and read the Old Testament. The Old Testament is the background of the New Testament. The Old Testament is the background of the New Testament. Imagine if you are in your fifth year in the university. Anybody who is studying law here was a lawyer. You study law or you are a lawyer? Okay, I think I saw someone there. Okay.
Okay.
You know, if you are in your fifth year in the law faculty, they will assume you did your fourth year. They will assume you did your second year, your third year, your fourth year. So they won't repeat many things to your year one, year two, year three, year four. They will assume that you know those things. For example, we read what we call, in my own country, we have what we call the Nigerian Weekly Law Report. The law reports. Law reports.
Report is a sharia za kila wiki.
And there's a way we call it.
Na kuna nama tunaita hizo.
They'll just say NWLR.
Na watasema tu NWLI.
Okay. Now, that's how everybody calls it.
Even
the so imagine the lecturer is in the fifth year.
Sasa fikiria kwamba lecture yuko mwaka katika mwaka wa tano.
Then he says,
anaongea nao mwaka wa tano.
NWLR.
NWLI.
Page 4. And then somebody says, final year, he says, sir, what is NWLR? You think he has a hangover from drinking overnight? Because that is a stupid question. It's what you will learn even before you enter the first year. So they assume you know those things already. Now imagine if you read only the New Testament. When the writers of the New Testament assume you should have read the Old Testament, they will say statements that has to do with the Old Testament, assuming you also read the Old Testament. They don't have to quote everything because they know you have it already. If I'm writing from a book and you already have the book, I don't have to quote everything in the book. I'll just make references to the book. That reference is for you to go back to that book and read everything. So the New Testament does not absolve us of the responsibility of reading the Old Testament. Let me even say this. The content of the Old Testament in the New Testament is almost 75%. The content of the Old Testament in the New Testament is almost 75%. I'm only being conservative. That means when I'm reading the New Testament, when I'm reading the New Testament, I am actually reading the Old Testament. So you cannot understand the New Testament if you don't read the Old Testament. And you cannot understand the Old Testament if you don't read the New Testament. You have to read them together. If you follow me, can you shout hallelujah? It must be read together. So when you hear the desert in Genesis 1:1, it says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Then verse 2, the earth was without form or void. Now that word without form or void means chaos, disorder. In the Old Testament, it is a phrase for the desert. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 9 through to 11. He said, God led Israel through the desert. Then he now mentioned the same word in Genesis 1:2. The Hebrew word is tohu. He said he led them through the tohu. So that word tohu in Genesis 1:2 is also used for desert. It means when something is out of order and it is chaotic. So when you hear the voice of one crying in the wilderness, it means he's crying in the midst of chaos. It means he's crying in the midst of darkness. It means he's crying in the midst of disorder. So when Israel left Egypt, they had a physical desert. But that desert was also chaos. Unbelief, idol worship. Are you following what I'm saying? So when Isaiah picks that same theme in Isaiah 40 verse 3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. At that time Israel was in exile. Remember exile. So is exile chaos? Is it disorderliness? Is it disorderliness? Is it confusion? Is it a tohu? Is it a tohu? So is it a desert? And a tohu? Out of God's will? Out of God's plan. So the voice crying in the wilderness is a voice crying in disorder, crying in chaos, crying in the midst of darkness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make it straight. Make straight his path. So when John took them to Jordan and he was crying, what is he saying? God is coming. God is coming. God coming doesn't mean he left. It means God is about to do something. Are you following what I'm saying here? So the use of desert in the Bible is a theme. T-H-E-M-E. A theme for chaos. A theme for tests and trials. A theme for darkness. A theme for confusion. So here is John. He's crying. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight his path. So yesterday, remember that illustration. Why did he go to Jordan? Jordan is the border. You're about to enter into God's land. So the Jordan he went to, was it symbolic? Was it symbolic? Was it symbolic? It's like the signpost. It is not the real deal, but it's a signpost so that they will remember that we came into this land crossing the Jordan. We came into this land by a miracle. God split the Jordan into two. God split the Jordan into two. The same way he split the Red Sea into two. So that we can pass through it and come into his promise and come into his plan. So when he went to Jordan, he's saying, God is about to do something. He's about to do something new. We're about to cross into his promised land. We're about to cross into his fulfillment. We're about to cross into what God had predestined. But now listen carefully. They are already in the land. So which land are they crossing to? They are already in the land. But don't forget, in the land they are in, they are still building the temple. In the land they are in, is there chaos? Chaos of belief. Chaos of worship. Chaos of who is the king. Chaos of authority. Chaos of who is ruling and reigning there. Things had broken down. They were now expecting a military Messiah. A military Messiah who will come and rescue them. A military Messiah who will come and rescue them from Pilate. From Rome. Even from the King Herod. They were tired of the religious leaders too, who were basically just extorting them, oppressing them. So they were expecting a Messiah. Now he had come. John was sent ahead of time to point to it. So he said, there's somebody standing in your midst. He's greater than me. I baptize with water, but he will baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Pay attention to that. That means John's baptism will give you an idea, a window into the baptism with the Holy Ghost. We need to get through John to know who Jesus is. Let me say it again. We need to get through John to know who Jesus is. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, when they were going to replace Judas, you know why I'm taking my time? I want you to understand things. So when we switch in this meeting, because we are going to switch, you will understand what we are saying. I want you to have a firm understanding. A burden in my heart. A burden in my heart. I've had it for years. Maybe 27 years. Maybe more than that. Is the average Pentecostal charismatic? The average Pentecostal charismatic. How we don't understand those workings of God's Spirit in our midst. We should understand it. Sometimes, when a theology is not well explained, when a practice is not well explained, it will look like heresy. If it's not well explained, well articulated, it will look like heresy. So I have a burden on my heart. I believe God has shared it with many other people too. Not only me, but I'm talking about my own. To have the charismatic Pentecostal,
yes,
to understand the works of the Spirit biblically, theologically, and properly. Because many times you see people scorn and they ridicule the charismatic. I am full blown charismatic.
Mimi ni katika damu kabisa ni mcharismatic.
I'm a full-blown charismatic.
There's
nothing that makes me concerned. People rolling on the floor. People screaming. I love to see it. Someone say, it doesn't look good. It's your personality that is affecting you. That's what's affecting you. People scream in stadium. They scream in concert. Why is screaming affecting you? If it's affecting you, use AirPod. But it's the power of God. Say it's the power of God. Imagine God asking an entire nation to scream and shout.
You know they
will shout like this, glory. They go, glory! God said they should have a shout.
Mungu alisema unapaswa wapige kelele.
If God says shout,
kama Mungu amesema piga kelele,
you gotta shout.
Unapaswa upige kelele.
You gotta shout.
Unapaswa upige kelele.
Someone said, I don't believe in all this laughter thing. Please sit down. We'll get to it. I said, you don't believe in the Bible. The Bible says, he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. If God laughs, everybody will hear it. If God laughs, everybody will hear it. The psalmist now said, he said, the Lord has filled our mouths with laughter. You are not saying, why are people just laughing anyhow? Why are you also looking anyhow? Face your front. So I have a burden on my heart for that charismatic. Of course, I know we charismatics, we have our own. We have our own wala. But you know, we just need to articulate what we are saying well and put it properly. That's why I'm giving you this background. Hope you are following it. You will need John to get to Jesus. That is how God planned it. John was born before Jesus was born. And very systematically, Mary goes to meet Elizabeth. And there was an interaction between them. And it says the baby in her womb leaped. So you need John to get to Jesus. When they were going to replace Judas, I have a study I want to do next year about John the Baptist. I think we have very little commentary on him. And it's affecting our theology. Now in Acts 1, when they were going to replace Judas, they were looking for, what is the qualification? They said, one who has been with us from the baptism of John. From the baptism of John. That means that was the key point. That was the epochal moment. That was the moment. That was the key moment. The baptism of John. So, which means that was critical to the apostles. When Jesus rose from the dead, he mentioned that baptism again. He mentioned what John said about him. Now, listen carefully. When Peter went to the house of Cornelius, he referred to it again. He said, from the baptism of John, the word that was sent to all of Israel, all of Judea, he mentioned John's baptism again. When Paul now rose to preach, he mentioned John's baptism again. In Acts 18,
Acts 13,
Paul mentioned John the Baptist again. In Acts 18, we also found Apollos, who knew John's baptism. In Acts 19, John's baptism is mentioned again. Is it very dominant?
It's
too consistent to miss it. That means we need John's baptism to know what Jesus is doing. Let me see your hand, whether you follow what I'm talking about. So what was John's baptism? We are about to step into God's promised land. What was John's baptism? It meant repent. Repent means to turn your mind to God and what he's doing. So John began to baptize them in water. He said they should flee from the wrath that is to come. There are two things he said will come. He said there's wrath that will come and there's he that will come, who will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So John called Jesus. He called Jesus. He which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. He which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. So pay very good attention. John's baptism was to point us to what God planned to do. And we said, he went to Jordan. There were many pools. But he went to Jordan. Because Jordan is how we entered into the promised land. Jordan is how the covenant God gave to Abraham was restored in Israel.
So,
listen carefully. Does Jordan also remind us of God's covenant to Abraham? I'm asking a question here. Genesis 12:3. In you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. In Genesis 11, verse 4 and verse 7, you see that the nations, they were scattered. Scattered all over. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 7 and 8. Says that was when God divided the nations. So the nations were divided. So what is now in Abraham's covenant? Because if you read Genesis 12, verse 2 to 3, where God spoke about him and says, I will bless you, be a blessing. He will curse you, I will curse you, bless you, I will bless. In you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Listen well. Why that statement? Because in chapter 11, the nations were scattered. In chapter 12, God wants to bring all the nations together through Abraham. So he began a new nation in Abraham. That nation is now supposed to keep expanding. Expanding to bring all the nations together. Who's following what I'm saying here? So if you understand Genesis 11, you understand Genesis 12. The background of Genesis 12 is Genesis 11. To bring all the nations together. Because the word blessed, amongst other things, baraka is actually the Hebrew word. Barak is the Hebrew word. It means to congratulate. Sometimes it means to kneel. But it is derived from a practice of welcoming someone. So the blessing of God means that God has brought you into his plan. Into his purpose. Into his own pursuit. That is what blessed means. Welcome into my plan. In you shall all the families be welcome. I will bless you. You will be a blessing. That means I will include you into my plan. And you will now include others into the plan. Do you understand what I'm saying here? It's not I will give you money. I will give you. Now, there's nothing wrong in calling money blessing. Because money is actually a blessing. But that's not the biblical blessing. The biblical blessing is to include you in God's plan. What is that plan? Is that all the nations will come together in one family. Now listen very well. In Galatians
3:8,
Paul, looking at that text, he said, for the scriptures, Galatians 3:8, for the scriptures, foreseeing that God will justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to
Abraham,
saying, in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, close your Bibles for now. I want to explain. No, don't close your Bible. Close your notes, sorry. Open your Bible. If anybody says close your Bible in church, problem is about to start. I want to say close your notes so you will not write something that I did not say. Now, that Galatians
3:8,
what does it mean by the scriptures foreseeing that God will justify the heathen through faith? Preach before the gospel to
Abraham,
saying in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now, what does it mean? Now, the book of Galatians, Paul was talking about circumcision. Right? Circumcision. How Peter, when he saw those who were circumcised, he had been eating and drinking with those who were not circumcised, then he withdrew himself. Because circumcision is a customary rite of Jews. It is like their tribal identity. It is to show their uniqueness as a nation. And it is God who told Abraham to do it. In Genesis 17. He didn't just do it. He did it for everybody in his household, all the males. Now, why did God ask him to do it? Because he was creating a new nation from him. So they must have their own cultural identity. So that's what Paul is saying. But listen carefully. That's Genesis 17. But so Abraham was circumcised, Genesis
17.
But God called him in Genesis
12.
Which means, as a Genesis 12, he was a Gentile. As a Genesis 12, he was from the nations. As a Genesis 12, when God blessed him and even declared him righteous, in Genesis 15, that tribe had not been created. He was as much a Gentile like every other person. Are you following that? So when Paul says the scriptures foreseeing that God will justify the heathen through faith, preached before, before what? Before he was circumcised. The gospel to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Paul's argument is this. Just like Romans 4, Abraham was declared righteous before he was circumcised. So Paul is saying here, that is the entry point for all Gentiles. It means that the Gentiles were included in the plan before Israel was created. Are you following Paul's argument there? That's Paul's argument there. That the Gentiles were already included before Israel was created. Hallelujah. Then you can open your note now. Write whatever you heard. So the Gentiles were included before Abraham was circumcised. Before the circumcision rite was started, the uncircumcised Abraham was blessed, declared righteous, called the father of many nations. That is Paul's argument. In Romans 4 and Galatians 3, who's follow what I'm saying here? Remember, we said, what is John's baptism? It goes back to Abraham's covenant. So is Abraham's covenant for all the nations? Is it for all the nations? I've given you Paul's background. If I in Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 4, verse 12 and 13, he said, everyone who follows in the steps of Abraham, he is the heir of the world. He said, when was Abraham declared righteous? When was he blessed? Paul said, is it when he was circumcised? Or when he was not circumcised? Paul said, of course he wasn't circumcised. When God blessed him, what is blessing again? To include you into God's purpose and his plan and his pursuit. Which means before Israel, before the nation of Israel was created, God had included all the nations in his plan. Israel will be the starting point. It is not the end. It is the vehicle nation, not the only nation. Do you understand what I just said now? Is it very clear? Paul's argument was now this. As he's a father to Israel, he's also a father to the uncircumcised. That is Paul's argument in Romans chapter 4. I think it's a very tight argument. What a tight argument that Paul gave there. Hope you're following what I'm saying. So which means, what land did God show to Abraham? Is it a piece of land or the whole world? I'm asking a question. What did he show Abraham? The whole earth. What did he show Isaac? The whole earth. What did he show Jacob? The whole earth. So in Abraham's covenant, God's blessing and inclusion is for all the nations. All the nations. Are you learning something here? All the nations. But who would he use as his vessel? Israel. Does it make sense to you? Israel will be the vehicle. But Israel is not the destination. The whole earth will be filled with his glory. In Numbers 14:21, when they said they were not going forward again, he said, as I live, the earth shall be filled with my glory. The earth shall be filled with my glory. They were going to a particular land, a geographical location called the land of Canaan. But God kept talking about where? The old. Are you learning something here? When Jacob had a dream in Genesis 28, verse 12 and 13, and he saw a ladder come down from heaven, and the angels of God ascend and descending, and he saw the Lord on it. He said, I have given you this land. And he said, and the whole earth. So in the covenant of God, what is the promised land? Is it Canaan or the whole earth? I'm asking a question. The whole earth is God's promised land. That's what he told Abraham. That's what he told Isaac. That's what he told Jacob. But there will be a starting point. Let me quickly say this. That's why Jesus said, beginning at Jerusalem, Judea,
Samaria,
the uttermost parts of the earth. Is that the covenant he gave Abraham? Are you following this? Luke 24:47. repentance and remission should be preached in his name amongst all nations, beginning where?
Jerusalem.
So it is always the beginning. It is not the end. It is not the end. It's the beginning. It's not the end. Are you following? How did they enter Jerusalem? River Jordan. Are you following? River Jordan. They enter through River Jordan. So what did John mean? He that comes after me is greater than me. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. I baptize with this water. What is about this water? I'm saying, now listen well, Tanzania, Uganda, Kenya, listen to what I'm about to say. John is saying, don't forget there's chaos in Jerusalem. Is there chaos in Jerusalem? But God will always keep his word. He will start from where? He will start from where? From where? From where? Which means that he didn't change his plan. He has no plan B. So, here is John. I baptize with this water. I baptize with this water. Which means, I'm baptizing you into a renewal of God's covenant to start at Jerusalem. For somebody coming after me, he will baptize with the Holy Ghost, which means in Jesus the mission will expand. In Jesus the reach will expand. In Jesus the land has to expand. Who's following what I'm saying here? John was sent to Israel, only to Israel, because God must keep his covenant with Abraham. He will begin again with Israel. But the mission is for the whole world. Who's following what I'm saying this morning? So if you don't understand John's baptism, you will not know how we got to Jesus. John baptized with water. Which water? Which is it any water or a particular one? It's Jordan. John's baptism is River Jordan. It's not swimming pool water. It's not the pool of Siloam. There were many pools. But this particular one is John's baptism. Because it has to do with God's plan and his promised land. But John is saying, I am limited. But there's one coming after me. 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 He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. In John 1:29, he said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. His is to point to Jesus. Jesus is going to point us soon to the whole world. Are you learning something here? So John's baptism is a renewal of God's covenant of his land, his promised land. So listen carefully. What is his promised land? His promised land is the whole earth. The whole earth. But we'll get to this later on. When they got to Canaan, did they have to fight? They had to fight. Because some people were occupying it. Other gods were being worshipped there. That does not change the fact that God gave them the
land.
Tanzania, Kenya, Uganda, and all the nations here. That you are seeing crime, idol worship, strange religions, does not mean that this is not the land. This is the land. This is the land. That is why it is called the baptism with the Holy Ghost. And we'll see the importance as we move further. Are you following what I'm saying this morning? So John said, he that's after me, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Look at how Jesus now described it. He said, John truly baptized with water. Not many days ends. Acts 1:5. You shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Then he now asked Jesus in verse 6. Acts of the Apostles chapter 1. Disciples now asked Jesus, they said, would you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? That question can be foolish. It can be seen as foolish. But we can also interrogate it. Because in the Psalms, Psalm 2 verse
7,
God spoke about the son of David. And he said, this day have I begotten thee. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Then he says, ask of me. I'll give you what?
What?
Heathen, that's the word nations. For your what?
Mataifa.
For your inheritance. The uttermost parts of the earth.
Ya nchi,
for your possession.
Kuwa miliki yako.
So when Jesus gave them the Great Commission,
kwa wakati Yesu anawapa agizo kuu,
they were now expecting that kind of king. Will you restore that kingdom to Israel? Will a son of David sit on that throne? Will a son of David sit on that throne? And then the whole earth will be given to him. Just like it was said to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Jesus now responded, it is not for you. But to know the times,
lakini kujua majira,
and the seasons,
majira na nyakati,
which the Father has put in his own
baba
power,
ameaweka katika mamlaka yake.
What were they asking for?
Nini walichokuwa wanauliza?
They were asking for the nations.
Walikuwa wanaulizia mataifa.
Are we correct?
Tuko sawa.
They were asking for the uttermost part of the earth.
Mpaka misho ya nchi.
Is that what that question meant?
Je, ndicho ambacho Yesu alimaanisha?
Is that what that question meant? He now said, well, you shall receive power.
Lakini anasema mtapokea nguvu.
They wanted the right thing, but the how was wrong. He said, you shall receive power. After which the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Which means, the Holy Ghost upon is the kingdom of God. The baptism with the Holy Ghost is the kingdom of God. You shall receive power. After with the Holy Ghost, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Now, to the uttermost part of the earth. Is that what was promised that king? Is that what was promised that king? Jesus now told them how. You will also fight war. You will also fight war. You will fight deep wars and battles. But that battle, to take the land that you have been given, is going to be by the Holy Ghost. You will take the land, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the entire earth.
Hallelujah.
So Jesus answered their question, but not how they were expecting. I know you're expecting a military ruler, a political leader. He will come. Because he will come. Because Jesus is a military ruler. He's a political leader. Because the word king, king is a political leader. A king is a political leader, which means he runs the society. Are you following what I'm saying? But it's not how you think. It will be by the Holy Ghost. That's why Paul will say the weapons of our warfare They are not carnal. What was Paul talking about? He was talking about the preaching of the gospel. The weapons of our warfare. Warfare to do what? Warfare to take hold of the land God has given to us. They are not carnal, but mighty through God. Mighty through God. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5. He says in verse 3, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. Because when Israel passed through Jordan, through Jericho, and they entered into the land, they were fighting, taking possession. Paul says, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh, but the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but mighty through God. Now, in the book of John, and Judges, particularly Judges, Joshua, they were pulling down shrines, pulling down shrines of idols. Paul says, we will also pull down strongholds. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God will bring everything to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Paul is reading the book of Joshua, applying it to the church. That the same way they had to fight, you will have to fight to take the land that God has given to you. This is the baptism with the Holy Ghost. This is the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Let me begin to close now. What else happened? When they crossed Jordan, they crossed Jordan as a nation. Baptism with the Holy Ghost. Baptism with the Holy Ghost unites people in one purpose, in one common cause. The Spirit of God unites us. Our DNA may be different. Our tribes and tongue may differ. But something will never be different. Something will never be different. What will never be different is the Spirit. It's the Spirit. So the Spirit of God is the uniting factor. It's what unites all of us. No matter your tribe, no matter your gender, no matter your status, the Holy Ghost is a unifier. The Holy Ghost is a unifier. The baptism with the Holy Ghost is the actualizer. It is what actualizes it. It's what brings it to pass. So the Holy Ghost coming on you, I'll give you another background in the afternoon. The Holy Ghost coming on you is a global mission. A worldwide mission. The Holy Ghost coming on us turns us into missionaries. The Holy Ghost coming on us turns us into ministers of the gospel, kings and priests, men and women who are on a mission and a mandate for the Lord in this conference. You will step out of this conference into the newness of God's purpose and plan. Stand to your feet and lift your hands. Lift your hands. I'm going to praise the Lord. You open my eyes. You're going to praise the Lord. Open my eyes to see your purpose. Your purpose and your plan to see the work of the Holy Ghost in my life and around me. Begin to pray right now. Begin to pray.
Anza kuomba. Pray in tongues. Anza kuomba katika roho.
Begin to pray.
Anza kuomba. Yes. Omba.
Begin to pray.
omba, omba.
Why did God give the Holy Ghost? So that we can reach the world. So that we can reach the world. Begin to pray.
Asa kuomba. Omba.
Begin to pray.
Asa kuomba.